Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Understand now you have your own T-shirt.
It appears that way on the Steve Jones Facebook page.
Unbelievable.
I like it. I support it. I endorse it.
Wow. I bet Eric Hackenberg wishes he had a Kevin Hurt rant T-shirt. I bet you do, my man.
I don't know about that, but that sounds like it would be a great option.
Sure. I think if it's really cold out and you need extra apparel, why not?
Right. You got it.
Eric, welcome. It's great to have you with us. It's been quite an odyssey. You being a former Susquehanna quarterback and now, of course, with your son. How would you characterize the last year in your household?
Well, I think, you know, one thing we've always tried to do through this whole thing is maintain some sort of resemblance of a normal family. And you know, I talked with some people during Christian signing day. And, you know, one thing, once things kind of took off in Christian's recruiting, which was 2 years ago, and through last Wednesday, we've always tried to keep things grounded. And so, you know, there have been some crazy moments over the last year. And, you know, I think the reality of it was we always, whenever we hit a road bump or a speed bump or at times a big hurdle, it was, you know, don't knee-jerk anything. Take a step back, take a deep breath, and let's think through it. Make sure that, you know, we're making the right decision with everyone's best interest in mind.
Let me talk to you about recruiting rules for a moment. They're talking about easing up the TAC rule for college football. You've just lived as a parent and your son lived through it as a student athlete. Is it a good idea or a bad idea from your perspective?
The contact rule? I kind of lost you there. You went in out on me for a second.
They're talking about loosening up the contact rules, the amount of times athletes can be contacted by coaches and so forth. The Big Ten, by the way, opposes this. You've just had to live through it. So after living through it, should there be more contact or less contact?
Well, you know, I think, you know, obviously I went through the process back in the late 80s, and it's changed so much because back then it was, you know, coaches would come to your school or call you at your house when they could, and that was it. Now there's Facebook and Twitter and tweeting and, I mean, all kinds of stuff that is a whole different dynamic. And there's so many avenues that you can get to kids. You know, with respect to there being more contact, I mean, there were times, no doubt, in our household where, you know, we just kind of got to the point where let's just, you know, and Christian even got that way, let's just turn the phones off because it was crazy. You understand why. But on the flip side of it, to just make it unlimited, I think would be it can end up being very disruptive for the kids. That's kind of how I look at it. And you know, there came a point in time where, you know, we kind of had to set some boundaries. That listen, you want to talk to Christian, or if Christian, you want to talk to coaches, you got between 7 and 8:30 at night, and that's it. Because you know, we've got three other kids in the house. You have to get your schoolwork done. They have to get their schoolwork done, and we still need to keep some kind of resemblance of a family. So, I mean, if you just added more to it, I think it would be probably too much, in my opinion.
All right. So, for you, what was the process like for you? Let's turn the clock back. What was it like? I'm talking about your personal when you were going to play.
Yeah, it was totally different. I mean, you know, there was no social media, and this is something I've had an opportunity to share with a bunch of people over the course of the last year or so. And you know, there was no social media, so coaches came by or coaches went to the biggest schools. And while they were there, they asked those coaches, hey, are there any other kids anywhere else? And that's kind of how they would do it. And, I mean, if you were in your local paper or the Philadelphia media, much. So there's now going through it, it was just become business. It's really what it's become. You know what? I had a year successful hand. You know, my story is one of, I'm sure there's many guys who went on to, you know, had scholarships and didn't get an opportunity or another. And, you know, I was just thankful that I had eligibility left when I went back to Susquehanna. I really went back to Susquehanna more so from an academic standpoint. And in the process of researching that, I found out I had some eligibility left and just kind of looked at it and said, you know what, I wanted to look back on my career when I was 40 years old and say, hey, you know, not say what if, but say, hey, I had a great time. And you know, at Susquehanna, I had a blast. You know, Coach had a guy there. I'm still friends with a few of them to this day. Close friends, even though years. But it was an experience for me, and it was a chance to just kind of get all of that out of my system and have some fun and you know, get it to myself.
Was it fun in the end?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I don't know if you guys followed, but my you know, my last year there, obviously, let's say I broke a wrist on a late hit. So, you know, I kind of got...
Other than that...
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I loved it. It was a special place. Obviously, my dad was a graduate there, and I have an uncle that's a graduate there, and in my heart, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
When did the son love games? The sense they...
Yeah, you know, it's a funny question, because, you know, my dad never let me play while I was in eighth grade, and my dad was the head coach for years, and some of it went to football at young ages. You know, any sport, you want to focus on fundamentals, and oftentimes I lost because of the physicality of the game, you know, how tough are you, and all that stuff kind of gets into it. And, you know, Christian, he started playing when he was 11, and you know, he loved it from the get-go. And it's kind of one of those things, if you've ever been around youth sports, if kids are good at something, they enjoy it, right? They want to come back.
Sure.
They want to play.
Exactly.
And,
they want to practice.
Yeah. So he came, you know, I let him play at a young age. I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to, and I had the opportunity to coach with another guy who actually played that fit with Dan Marino. And so I knew that we were going to provide the kids a great environment for learning and learning the fundamentals and having fun. And, you know, he started at 10 and got through it. When he hit his freshman year, you know, I'd taken him to a few, kind of exposed him a little bit to some colleges and camps over the summer going into his freshman year. And, you know, he's, you know, 13, 14 years old. And he's throwing with 16, 17-year-olds, and he's hanging in there. And I'm going, okay, you know, and that's not bad. Some of these kids were going to be scholarship kids. And you know, the hardest part, honestly, throughout the process, and I'm just thankful for the background I had in the house I grew up in, having a father that was a coach. The hardest part for me was staying objective to the whole thing. You know, I'm a dad. It's hard at times,
sure,
when you're a parent to stay objective. And it was one thing I always tried to do, first and foremost, not get wrapped up in it emotionally, but look at things objectively. And I could tell his freshman year he had the opportunity to do some special things. And, you know, he was tall, and I just wasn't quite sure how tall he would grow. Those kind of things you don't have control over. But the things that he was given, you know, in terms of arm and athleticism and just, you know, I was out there on the field watching him make reads and stuff. It was all there, and it was just neat. It was just a matter of getting him, you know, in the right hands and tutoring him a little bit. And you know, the rest kind of worked out.
Your wife, obviously, a pretty good volleyball player at Lehigh.
Sure.
So there's obviously athleticism in the family. Some would say that she's the one that passed on the athlete. Just kidding. The athleticism.
I hear that all the time.
But still, the fact that it sport's been an important part, even as a fan within the base of the family, because two athletes at the head of it.
Yeah, you know, the one thing sports has always been, I mean, I grew up with it. You know, my first memories in life are locker room with my dad. You know, my father-in-law, my wife's father, he was the all-time leading receiver at Lehigh University for years until Steve Kreider came through and broke the record. So, you know, on both sides, both families are kind of deeply rooted in athletics. And, you know, one thing Nikki, my wife, and I always talked about is we would roll athletics out to our kids, and if they chose to do it, great. And if they chose not to, that was fine too. You know, my dad never made me do anything. You know, I gave up baseball at a young age, and that might have been, you know, maybe the best sport for me. But I gave it up, and you know, he never made me do it. And I just said to my wife, you know, we'll roll this out. If they want to run with it, we'll support them. We'll give them every opportunity we can, and go from there. And you know, fortunately, we've been really blessed. I mean, Christian, you know, has done what he's done. And, hey, Christian may not even be the best athlete in the house, so that's saying something. So,
right.
What does he become of that? So, you know, it's kind of crazy.
because of, okay, the way you phrased that, let me go to the next part. Is the competition within the House allowed the, I'm talking good natured, the competition within the House actually made the kids better?
Hell, there's no doubt. You know what I mean? And the one thing we stressed on top of that was each of them was their own individual. You know, the hardest thing right now, and you guys can probably understand this, is because of the, again, going back to the first question, because of the social media and the attention and the exposure that Christian has gotten, the one thing we want to make sure with the three other boys is that they don't ever compare themselves or are ever compared to Christian, because they're not. He's who he is. You guys be who you are. You know, you only have to be yourself. You don't have to be, you know. I mean, it's funny now because I get called Christian's dad all the time. I'm not Eric anymore. I'm Christian's dad, you know. So it's just, I've lost my
identity.
We started
out with Eric. I never mentioned him right away.
You got to give me credit.
Hey, if I'm going to announce the games, I'll eventually get around to, since I'm announcing the games, I can eventually get around to mentioning him. I'll talk to you now.
So, yeah, I mean, we've always tried, I think that's been a big part of our family dynamic, but we've always tried to make sure each kid is their own identity. And, you know, I have a 15-year-old, like I said, who's probably the best athlete in the house. He chose soccer, and we support him. You know, not coming where we come from in the coal regions. I mean, soccer, it's like, you know, football rules the roost. Rules the roost, not soccer. But that's what he chose to do, and we support him, you know.
What about the discipline that they get out of sports and, you know, everything that goes with it, all the things that you would think of that are positives that sports can bring?
Yeah, you know, and that, again, that's something that I was raised with. You know, I think one of the greatest teachers in life, if you have a chance to be an athlete, especially in team sports, I think one of the greatest teachers in life is team sports, because it teaches you so many things that you can transfer over into the real life, into the business world, into being a parent, you know, into being a friend, into being a business person, whatever it may be. There's so many lessons you learn. And I saw so many guys, you know, I lost my dad 5 years ago, and I saw so many guys, former players, came back to his funeral, and they talked about how, you know, playing for my dad and being part of that has influenced their lives and put them where they are. And those kind of things are things that stick with you, you know, stick with you forever, you know. But I think that that's just one of the greatest things about sports. Doesn't mean if you don't play them, you're not going to be successful, but I think that's one of the great things you can get from it.
What was it about Bill O'Brien that made an impression?
You know, it's funny. I never really knew Bill. Even when he got the job, he was kind of someone I really didn't know anything about. You know, I mean, I knew that he was at the Patriots. I knew that he'd been, but you think of the Patriots, you think of Bill Belichick. You don't think of Bill.
Sure.
You know, one of the assistant coaches at Fork Union had actually played for Bill down at Duke and had really good things to say about him. And, you know, that's kind of how that whole process even started with Christian, ended up at Penn State. And, you know, one thing we always did was we went to every place we visited with Christian, went there with an open mind. I mean, some guys I knew, like Al Gould and I, had a longstanding relationship with. I knew Al back from college days. So I knew what he was about. We went up to that junior day, and just hearing the guy talk, seeing what he's about, we had a chance to spend some one-on-one time with him. You know, he just really resonated with everything, with what our roots are as a family, and kind of, I think, how my wife and I were raised. You know, he would fit in. Very honest, down-to-earth guy, you know, didn't stand on a pedestal. It was like talking to your big brother or talking to your uncle. He was just a, you know, a real straight shooter. And I got to be honest, you know, I don't think there's a group of people, football, you know, former or future student athletes, parents, that have been through more in the last year than the kids that just signed Penn State. And, you know, when you look at that last year, Bill was as straight a shooter and as honest about everything as he could have been, which he says even more about the integrity and the character of who he is. And, you know, it's kind of hard to find that. And I feel very blessed and very humbled that Christian has a chance to go up there and spend 4 or 5 years with him and you know, not only grow as a football player, but grow as a man under Bill O'Brien.
Eric, it's an absolute pleasure for me. I look forward to meeting you down the road.
Absolutely. And, guys, thank you for having me, and we are.
Appreciate it, Eric, very much. Penn State.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye. Eric Hackenberg with us. We are counting down. We are now 18 minutes, 32 seconds away from the Kevin Herr rant. Remember, Mark Lawrence is now telling everyone that OTM is rantless. We try to ramp up the rant here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout and make your deal today, because these cars could be at an auction tomorrow, like a 2012 Hyundai Elantra four-door sedan GLS, our lowest price promise, $15,943. Just arrived. A 2005 Nissan Maxima four-door V6 3.5 SE, only $11,788. Beautiful Ford Mustang Premium Mach 1, just $15,997. 2011 Ford F-150 regular cab, $17,995. And a 2012 Hyundai Veloster three-door coupe with black interior and under 7,000 miles, just $17,999. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
He is just nailing you with this rantless deal.
It's his loss. He can have the rant as well. I can do political rants as well.
You can.
I can. I listen, I can rant on anything.
Well, my rant when it comes to wrestling, it deals with the political end of it. I think the one thing that has really hurt the Olympics over the years tremendously, and it's about to be hurt tremendously now, and that is the fact that the politics plays too great a role in the Olympic Games. Too great a role, okay? Far too great a role in the Olympic Games. And this is, the deal with wrestling is a political, it's political all the way. I mean, and I agree with Bob completely. I mean, I think Bob Buhner has it right on the mark, where I think that what you're looking at is that there is a dramatic attempt by People's Republic of China to want to ramp up the medal count. That's why I think wushu is going to be the sport that makes it.
I do too. I really do. I mean, ancient, I know I was ancient, joking, but I'm really believing.
Ancient Chinese martial arts.
Right.
Dave, go ahead. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Steve. How you doing?
Doing well, Dave. How are you? It's great to hear from you.
Well, a little under the breath, but I'll be okay. About ready to hit for my oxygen. But say hello to Kevin.
How are you, Dave?
I'm waiting for his rant. But I want to thank you, Steve.
For what, Dave?
Well, for having Mr. Hackenberg on.
Kevin's the one that set that up. I'm the one that ended up talking to him, but Kevin's the one you should thank. He set the entire thing up. That means, you know, we're team radio here, so he's the one that did it.
Well, that just tells me a little bit about the young man. Just listening.
Comes from a really, really good family. Comes from a really good family, and as Steve mentioned, a very athletic family.
Well, I know a little about that, but I'm just saying, I was listening not for athletic and but the person.
Well, exactly. And you can tell when you know somebody comes from a quality family. I mean, look, humble, reserve, didn't build up anybody, and guess what? Talked as much about his other kids. You know, that's the way it is. You want parents that want to make sure that everybody within the family gets their just due.
Yeah, well, I'll just end this with, you know, a little thing to just for you. Is that if you do me a favor, I went to the doctor today, and there's a lesion on my tongue, and I was kind of worried about it. I don't know. We're going to maybe in 2 weeks get some more testing done. Just need prayer.
Okay. You have it. You're very important to us, Dave.
The only reason I said that
mm-hmm.
is your family.
Dave, Dave, you're very important to us, okay? You're part of our broadcast family here.
No,
and you will absolutely be in our prayers, okay?
You guys are family.
Well, we feel the same way about you, Dave. Thanks so much. And we'll transition to the news here at the bottom of the hour with Sarah Bartlett here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Counting down Kevin Herr rant coming up. It has now become one of the signature moments of the program.
It is for me anyway.
Wow. You know, on you now, this has become incredible.
The what has become incredible?
Pressure.
Oh, well, yeah.
How are you handling it? I mean, how are you coming up with something every day?
Well, when you're naturally...
When you are naturally consumed with hate, I guess, it comes up.
Not hate, just cranky. When you're naturally cranky, it's easy to come up with something.
I hear you.
It's really easy to come up with something.
So yesterday was the Olympics. We're going now with Big Ten football today?
Yes, it'll be Big Ten football.
Now, do you write these?
Define write them. I mean, do I write the whole thing out?
Script it.
Yeah, well, only if I have a lot of statistics to pass along, because I don't want to mess any of them up.
I see. All right, so now yesterday you scripted.
Yes, because I had a lot of statistics.
Because this was, well, more than stats. This is a passion play for you, the Olympic Games. I enjoy the Olympics, and of course, we're less than a year away now from Sochi. And the way they've done it now by staggering the Olympic Games in 2-year cycles between winter and summer, it certainly has kept it at the forefront.
It was a brilliant idea.
The wrestling, it was a very good idea. The wrestling decision, though, okay, now we're starting to see some things add up. Softball gone. Why United States dominant? Okay. Wrestling now gone. Okay. What nation is not very good at wrestling?
Anybody in the Pacific Rim.
What series of nations? What series of nations not very good at softball? Pacific Rim nations.
I was going to say, I believe one of them has a big red flag.
Yes. Greg, by the way, sent me this from Bluff City, Tennessee. Listen to the show every day. Penn State's going to be in town. Baseball-wise, take on East Tennessee State. What do you know about the team? Not the same power as last year. They had some bashers on that team, Jordan Steranko, and so forth. This is a team that's going to be based on speed, manufacture runs, try to use pitching. Dave Walkling, by the way, the Canadian, will be the starter on Friday. Stephen Hill, who threw a no-hitter against Iowa last year, is the starter on Saturday. So this is going to be a team that's going to have to use its pitching, its defense, and manufacture runs in order to beat teams this year. They really will not be able to do it with the semblance of power that they had last year, where they could play for the big inning with the one big hit. This is going to be a team that's going to have to nickel and dime you and beat you by doing the job with small ball. You'll see a lot of small ball, moving runners, stealing bases, bunts, hit and run, things like that. That's the kind of team they're going to be. Love the long ball.
I love playing small ball.
And that's the kind of team this is going to be. So, Greg, I hope that answered your question. He sent that email to me from Bluff City, Tennessee.
Any truth to the rumor?
As you know,
I was going to say, any truth
we're
to the
online
rumor
everywhere.
You were trying to get to Tennessee to be able to do the game, just to be in the warmer weather?
No, sure, fine. I mean, I go to Michigan this weekend, but, you know.
That's not warmer weather.
No, it's not. Nor will the reception. Especially after last night, especially after last night's performance. Especially after last night's performance. Dave Baker sent me an email. It has one word in it: attitude. All right, time now for the Kevin Hur rant of the day. I'll then pick it apart later.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Well, this is going to surprise, I think, Steve, because the Big Ten announced, well, not officially, but through Barry Alvarez, that the league agreed to halt scheduling on FCS games. So games with FCS teams. Because of the conference expanding their schedule to 9 or 10 games, it may not be needed. Now, my first reaction to this was that stinks. Because this gives no FCS school a chance to make some money, get into a game that, you know, maybe they don't have a big chance at winning, but we're not going to see another one of those Appalachian State wins like we did in 07. We're not going to see North Dakota State upset Minnesota as they did in 2011 and then go see Colorado State as they did in 2012. As a matter of fact, North Dakota State has a pretty darn good record since 2006. They're 6-3 against FBS schools. Now, understand it's North Dakota State, which is probably and has been the best FCS school in the country. But as I looked at it a little further, I thought of a couple of things. I thought of the fact that not a whole lot of fans get excited when Penn State plays Youngstown State, for instance, or when Penn State plays another FCS school. There's not that much excitement. It's kind of, you know, expected to win. Well, the Big Ten as a whole is 83-8 against FCS schools since 1978. Minnesota's lost the most at 3. And Penn State, the last time they lost to an FCS school, well, they only lost to 1, and that was 3 years after Steve Jones graduated. So it's been quite some time. Again, it's going to be a little bit sad not to see some of these FCS schools with a chance to play the big boys. But at least you won't ever see in the Big Ten Savannah State losing by a total of 139 points in 2 games.
What FCS school did Penn State lose to?
Cincinnati was FCS at that point in 83.
Oh. Okay. They had like all these junior college guys on it.
I'm just saying they were FCS.
I was on the radio network. We didn't even think of it back then. Enough's enough about dropping down. And nobody's interested in watching Penn State play Indiana State.
Agreed.
It just doesn't happen. People want to see you play Alabama. They want to see you play other BCS teams. I think the Big Ten is absolutely going to 9. I think the door is slightly ajar for 10 games, especially if they get to 16 schools.
The drawback, though, is for a team like North Dakota State that's probably on the bubble, maybe to feeling as though they might want to move up.
Then go FBS.
Well, but see, that's okay. My point. This is their way of testing the waters.
Oh, heck, just go. Well, how much do you think Texas San Antonio tested the waters? How much do you think UConn tested the waters? Didn't test the waters that much. Just did it because they knew financially it was better for them. One thing that happens when you're an FCS school, you lose a ton of money. I mean, financially, it is not easy to be an FCS school. Financially, it is not. And here's the great misnomer. The deeper you go in the playoffs, the more money you lose.
Yeah, and they go deep into the playoffs every year.
Right. I mean, remember Villanova's making those deep runs in the FCF playoffs? And believe me, I watch those games. I enjoy watching those games. Eastern Washington, Villanova, North Dakota State, you know, teams like that. Yeah, when they get to the playoff time, I'll watch those games.
Even further down, I'll watch what Mountain Union plays. Stevens Point, things like that. But to put them on your schedule, no.
Like I said,
I think if you want,
I thought you'd be surprised at that.
If you want to go to FBS, then find a conference, go to FBS. Simple as that. And financially, I think it works out for you in the end too. I think fans don't want to see those games. The grumbling I hear outside of Beaver State, oh, they're going to be like, you can't believe they're playing. I mean, there are people that grumble when you're playing Kent State, Akron, and so forth now, Ohio University. What are they playing them for? Why are they playing Kent State? You know, and Kent State was really good last year. Kent State, if Kent State beats Northern Illinois, they're the ones going to the bowl game in the Orange Bowl.
I want to see the Chanticleers get back on the schedule.
Well, I mean, Coastal Carolina was on.
I just love the mascot and the nickname.
They get money for it. That's great.
See, I think that's going to be the big downfall for the FCS schools. I think they're the ones that lose out on this more than the Big Ten will. The Big Ten is coughing up a big chunk of change to, in their mind, and in most people's minds, to get a win, likely. If they lose that game, they're expected to win, and it looks terrible. And it doesn't help your strength of schedule if you're trying to get into one of the four big teams.
Well, see, I think what's going to happen now is that you're going to see schools now schedule in football like they schedule in basketball. They need an RPI game in there. So the thought of even going to 10 games in the Big Ten is still viable because you can play 13 home games over a two-year span. The argument for having a seventh home game when you're in the Big Ten, it becomes lessened because if the reports are correct, then each Big Ten school right now makes $24.5 million from the television deals. And the projection, and these are only projections, but the projections are to be between $45 and $50 million by 2018 or 19. Do you need a seventh home game at that point? And I think the pattern of going to, you see the Pac-12 is at 9. Now, the Pac-12 did that so you were playing everybody. But now, of course, with the addition of Utah and Colorado, you are not. They've gone to 9. I would expect the Southeastern Conference to follow suit and then also increase its conference load as well. Now, do you open up a can of worms? Let's take Minnesota as an example. You increase the number of non-conference games. My apologies. You increase the number of conference games. I can tell you with great assurance they don't go to a bowl game this past year. They went 6-6. Four of their wins were all non-conference games. Only they were 2-6 in the Big Ten. You add two more games and you take two out, their chance of going to a bowl game shrinks. Now, you'll have additional schools in there, and there's a lot of talk about this being an east-west feel for conference division. The one thing you'll see is that I think there might be a move to put in divisions, even the Olympic sports, and keeping as much competition on one side of the division and regionalizing it as much as possible with maybe a crossover here and there. I think it'll save money. For FCS schools, it was incredible. You go into a place like Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, get a big check, and leave. And for Appalachian State, you get lucky, you win one.
But I think if you want to play against the big guys, then I think you have to move up to the big guy level. Your rant, not so much fun today.
Sorry, just because you agree with me?
I just don't think FCS schools should be playing FBS schools.
And that's why I said you should be surprised by the comment.
I think Barry is right about this.
I think it's sad because, you know, the FCS schools don't have a chance to knock off somebody big, but I agree, there's not that much interest in it.
There just isn't. Now, somehow, you have to somehow get some of the Southeast Conference around a little bit. More conference is not going to do that, especially if the SEC goes to more conference games. I mean, Florida has not played a game north of the Mason-Dixon line since 1965. What? But they don't have to. When you're allowed to basically get away with it, you don't have to. So don't blame them. We'll wrap it up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. One of the great things that I've heard, and is what Patrick Chambers is going to do for Thun. Tomorrow night, Penn State will play Iowa at 9 o'clock in the Jordan Center. And 9 o'clock starts, while not being great, obviously, for the people here in the Valley, because you have to travel in, it's late, you're going to travel back, it's late, I understand that. It is a great time for students. In fact, the largest student crowd Penn State ever had was a 9 o'clock start in the middle of the week, and it was 6,000. Patrick Chambers says that tomorrow night, he's going to donate $10 to Thon for every student in the Jordan Center.
Wow.
How about that? I think that's special. I think that's what he's doing. All right, so I think that it's really special what he's doing. And it's obviously a message we're trying to get out the student body here because, I mean, obviously they'll make a difference in the game. I mean, Tom Izzo made a great point last night. I mean, the Izzo, Michigan wears those ridiculous T-shirts saying "We On." See the Izzo last night?
What does that
come
mean,
out there
by the way?
What? We On? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I'll find out when I go there for Sunday's game.
All right.
But they have those ridiculous shirts that say "We On." Okay, you see what they had in the Izzo last night at Michigan State?
No, I didn't.
All white shirts saying "You're off." And last night, Michigan State played brilliant, brilliant basketball and beat Michigan. Michigan's depth has been exposed. Mitch McGarry was in the starting lineup last night, which I've been waiting to see them put him in the starting lineup, which is where he should be. But you know what? It really exposes a bench that doesn't do anything for you. Glenn Robinson's numbers down in the Big Ten. Trey Burke slightly up. Tim Hardaway Jr. slightly down, but no big deal. I mean, he went 1-for-11 last night. But you know what? His three games before that, outstanding. So last night was actually an aberration for Tim Hardaway. McGarry seemed to be deer in the headlights by the moment. Nick Stauskas is 10 points lower outside the three-point arc in Big Ten play compared to non-conference play. And Glenn Robinson's numbers are down. So, yeah, I've done some research on the game already because the turnaround so fast I had to. And last night Tom Izzo said it point blank. He said, look, he says, you do play better at home for a reason. Listen to these people. They make an impact. And that's what's going to, with Penn State tomorrow night, they're hoping the students will make that kind of impact when they play Iowa. And Patrick Chambers is going to make an impact on Thun. $10 donation per student at the game tomorrow night. So if they get, let's just round it up. Say they were to get 3,000 students, he'd donate $30,000.
Yikes.
How about that?
So, I mean, yikes. I mean, that's class. That's not yikes.
No. I mean, that's just a lot of money. That's all I meant by that.
Well, believe me, he didn't take a vow of poverty when he took the job.
I realize that, too.
So, you know, it's... I think it's what he's doing is great. He's putting his money behind it. And, you know, it's Patrick Chambers, a man of great values. Great values. And he's very passionate. And when he gets involved in something, he's passionate. He's already done the shaved head deal. No hair, don't care.
Right. I remember that.
Right. So that's tomorrow night. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Rich Scarcella on the show tomorrow as well. Chief and Kev heading up to Jersey Shore for Schick and Jersey Shore tonight.
Yeah, Jersey Shore losing to Williamsport, so they cannot make the playoffs. So this will be a playoff game for them. And, you know, Shikellamy has had historically some trouble making that trip to the shore without a beach.
Well, that's okay. I understand that, according to the chief, he's had some trouble making that trip as well, watching you talk on the phone, eat, and drive at the same time.
He's still alive. He's gotten back safe and sound every time, and we've been doing this for about 15 years now. He's fine. Don't let him kid you.
Every time I see him, I say, "You all right?" His hands are shaking. I said, "Are you okay?" He says, "Nah, I got Kevinitis."